You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In a recent study conducted by Dr. Janine Swale and Dr. Susan Marlowe, 16 female entrepreneurs shared their experience at starting their own company. We discussed the perceived flexibility of entrepreneurship for women versus the harsh realities they face. How did the female entrepreneurs in your study initially perceive the flexibility of entrepreneurship, and how did this perception change over time?
My sample of women, first of all, I should say the study research was conducted in the United Kingdom with a group of women who within the last 3 years had shut down or closed their businesses. So what we were interested in exploring is the decision making around why they felt they had to either shut down, walk away from, sell, or essentially leave the business with a business partner as such. One of the key questions we asked them was, so could you tell me about what your motivations were for starting and launching this business? And, you know, there were a number of motivations communicated, but most of them, I'd say 95% of them said, I really thought that entrepreneurship would afford me this flexibility, that I would be able to have this long desired balance between work and family. I could have autonomy over my time, be my own boss. You know, all those cliches that we hear, whether it be in the media, whether it be around our policies and initiatives, even in a certain respect in our education, you know, go and do it. Anyone can set up a business. You know, you should be master of your own destiny. All these kind of, without throwing in too many academic speak, this neoliberal agenda of, you got to go and create your own business. You know, you can do it. And these women were particularly around caring. They really were sold on that. They felt that, you know, if they just got their act together, set up their business, they would have it all. You know, they could have this perfect family life. They could give their children, especially young children, the time. They could be the mom there that was picking up, you know, on the school runs and drop-offs. But the reality was, as they entered a business, particularly if these businesses had growth aspirations and were really, you know, really sound business ideas, but needed resources, time, energy to actually develop and grow, they realized, you know, a year in, sometimes as long as 10 years in, that they couldn't do it all. It had to nearly be one or the other. And if it was the business, they really had to think about how to reorganize their support network and their kind of domestic household in order to actually be able to do it.
What existing policies are in place to support female entrepreneurs, and why do they fall short in addressing the challenges highlighted in your study?
To my knowledge, we have a dearth of policy specifically for women entrepreneurs. There are lots of great initiatives. One, for example, there is an accelerator program called the Electrify Accelerator, an online accelerator program run by Ministry of Awesome. They run a conference every year, which is actually running next week in Christchurch, around bringing women entrepreneurs together, bringing investors together, really kind of energizing the ecosystem for women who want to set up their business. So that is a really, really good initiative. I would argue what we don't do well currently is we don't have enough conversations around the realities of setting up a business, not necessarily just for women, but for anyone who actually wants to create employment for themselves, generate a living wage, a living salary, grow their business. They've got to enter into this with their eyes wide open, okay? And for women, the particular challenges are that in order to do that, particularly if they are head of their households in terms of, I mean, let's face it, we do take on the mental load, right? We do organize the, you know, the wardrobes, the lunches, you know, the thinking about the meal planning for the week ahead, you know, that's called the mental load, you know, and I have yet to meet a woman who has told me honestly, oh, my significant other does all that. They do exist, but they are like potentially unicorns. So what we need to do is encourage these women who are thinking about setting up these businesses. And these are talented women who have maybe come from good jobs, corporate careers, but want to enter into maybe the next stage of their career and try entrepreneurship. They need to have these conversations within their households, with their partners, with their support network, Fano, that, you know, they are about to do something that will take up a huge amount of their time. And in order to help them succeed, they need that support network behind them. You know, they need that. And I think what we don't do well, maybe it not necessarily directed at policy, but as a society and a culture, you know, we're gung-ho about running your own business, setting up your own business, but what we're not good at is actually being really explicit about the challenges ahead and how we can set women up in the best way possible to be able to cope with those significant challenges, rather than them coming to the decision that the women in my study came to. They couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. It was one or the other. They had to walk away from it. It was what I define as an involuntary, almost an involuntary decision to close their businesses.
How can policymakers and support organizations better engage with female entrepreneurs to understand their needs and challenges?
I think what we can do is create more open networks in our ecosystem. So what I mean by that is, you know, we talk about mentoring and, you know, women need mentoring. No, women don't necessarily need mentoring. Women need to know other people, particularly other women entrepreneurs who have been there and done that, so that they can literally sit down, grab a cup of coffee with them, grab a glass of wine and say, talk me through how you did it. What are the realities of the business that you're currently running? You know, it's not necessarily show me what I need to do, guide me. I mean, of course, that's potentially helpful as well, but it's more about sit down in front of me, have a conversation with me, warts and all, tell me what this process has been like for you. And then so in terms of how policy can do that, I think they can assist in opening up those networks and they can, you know, they can assist in you know, key people supporting or maybe sponsoring a group of established women entrepreneurs who can give their time. I mean, women give their time freely, and sometimes that's not necessarily right because our time is precious. You know, we should be paid for the work that we do. So is there some kind of, maybe I don't want to call it a mentoring initiative, but is there some kind of initiative where established women business owners can actually, you know, be paid to actually talk to a woman, buddy up with a potential nascent woman entrepreneur? You know, that's potentially something we could do. I would like to see more support around the almost the pre-accelerator stage. So we have what's called accelerators are basically for people who have business ideas and want to move forward quickly with them. I think what we can do better work around is almost that pre-accelerator stage where people are still grappling with the idea, and also how to set up their home life, their domestic sphere in such a way that they can really hit the ground running if and when they decide to launch their business. So how do we do that? Can we create more friendlier policies around that transition stage between leaving jobs, moving into self-employment? That's potentially one area that we could maybe have conversations around. And I'm trying to think if that's, I could have lots of policy ideas, but perhaps I don't need to come up with all of them today.
Acknowledging that the study was conducted on women from the UK, how do you think the New Zealand government paints the idea of women entrepreneurs? Do they paint it in the same simplistic and overly optimistic light?
I think that that's something that can cross over into, you know, a culturally similar that we have down here. What I mean there is, it's not just the government, it's the media, you know, it's the, you know, it's celebrating the success stories and, you know, those high success stories. You know, we're constantly talking about, you know, organizations that have made it big and that have, you know, secured that $1 million venture capital funding, investment, etc. And that's great to celebrate. But I think what we can also do is look at how we can learn from businesses perhaps that have failed without giving the entrepreneur a bad rap, without annihilating them, without it being a witch hunt on the media, which I've witnessed over the last few years with some people. So I'm thinking, you know, how can we, instead of kind of stigmatizing the idea of failure or even, you know, the milder business closure, actually then asking these entrepreneurs to talk to us about, well, you know, what did you learn from this process? You know, what can you then now pass on to other people who are thinking about setting up a business? You know, what are the key learnings from failure or closure that you can pass on? And once we have these more realistic and perhaps tougher conversations in our ecosystems, you know, even have that component in an accelerator program. What happens when you fail? What happens when a business fails? And it's extremely depressing, but if we can actually rework those into key learnings and key lessons, we could potentially help a whole suite of entrepreneurs, early stage entrepreneurs, to not fall into those same traps. You know, they could go in with their eyes more wider opened. You know, the women that I spoke to on a previous study who were raising capital for their businesses and those that were actually successfully raising capital, and I asked them what was working for them currently, you know, did they have a recipe for success? It wasn't necessarily that they had the perfect pitch or the perfect idea, because no idea is perfect. Many of them said, I have the support of my partner at home, my family. You know, I know that I can drop things and somebody will run the evening shift that day at home, that night at home, or somebody will pick the kids up, you know, that I can literally drive this business forward without that guilt that I have, that mum guilt about, you know, oh, my family are going to suffer through this. And that response for the women that I spoke to came across much more strongly than, oh, I'm really good at pitching for investment, or, you know, oh, I have this fantastic business idea that I know, you know, why would you not invest in my business? You know, it's it was the support and being confident of having that support that was critical for them to drive their businesses forward.
Based on your findings, what advice would you give to a woman considering entrepreneurship as a flexible career option?
Okay, first of all, I would say flexible you need to be careful about being sold on the idea of flexibility, especially in the early stages of developing and launching a business that you want to generate a salary and a living wage from. Okay, it's different, Rachel, if you have what's called maybe more of like a side hustle, right? You know, you have a love of photography per se, and you're able to spend X many hours a week doing this business on the side. That's a different thing. If you are a woman who is considering turning something into a viable business that potentially in the future could create employment, that may be actually employing other people in the future, right? You've got to be really clear about what that's going to take. So the first thing I encourage women to talk to me about their business idea. I love talking to women about their business ideas. But we talk about the idea initially. I ask some key questions around that. The next question I ask them is, who do you know? Who else do you know in your network, especially women who are running their own businesses? And if they say, oh, actually, I don't, I go, well, you know what? Before you even do anything more on your actual business idea, please go and have a coffee with somebody who would be able to sit down and talk to you about the realities of running a business. Now, I know I'm kind of repeating what I said earlier. So my first piece of advice would be seek out the networks that you need, okay? And if you don't have those networks, work on developing those and using those networks to help you, you set up the business and explore the business more seriously. The second key thing I would say is, as well as working on the business idea and doing all those research components and all the things that you need to do, all those, you know, setting the business up, registering the business, market research, all that there, actually focus on your domestic sphere as well. You know, have the conversations with your significant other, that person that's in your life, maybe that's helping you raise your kids, you know, say, look, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take it seriously. This is not just something I'm going to dabble with. I really want to make a go of this. Do I have your support around all the other responsibilities that we have as a household, particularly if you've young children? You know, you've got to allow women to be able to transition into the role of an entrepreneur, a focused entrepreneur. And yes, they will still always be a mother and a carer and all that there, but there will come a point where they'll have to focus 100% on the business. It won't be the whole time, but there will be stages where they need that tunnel vision, and will they have those support networks in place where their support person will say, you go do that because I believe in you. I've got it under control here. You know, we have some great men in our lives, and we just got to give them the opportunity to pick up the tools at home as well and actually, you know, do more of that work at home, take on more of the mental load and be able to do that so that women entrepreneurs can actually realize their full potential.
And that was Dr. Janine Swale on the experience of female entrepreneurship.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.